So as you've heard, for 3 months, our two congregations are coming together in one gathering as we think about how God's calling us to go into this next season of life together and also service together in His kingdom. And as we do that, I'm really excited because we're getting back into the Gospel of Matthew. And if you've been with us at Kingsley over the last couple of years, we've been working our way steadily through the Gospel of Matthew. And it's just such an amazing gift to us as we read of the life of Jesus. It speaks so powerfully into our lives. And as we get back into the Gospel of Matthew, we're up to chapter 18. And chapter 18 is a fascinating one because Jesus is just beginning to talk to his disciples, these men who he's training to establish his church, and he's talking to them about how he wants his church to operate. So if you have a Bible there, I'd love for you to turn to Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to pick up the story as we read together from Matthew 18 and verse 1. Let's dive straight into the text as it begins in Matthew 18:1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, when was the last time you asked that question? I know I don't think I've ever asked it in that way. So we might kind of tune out and say, well, this is a conversation I don't really need to worry about. I'm not kind of clamoring for top position in the kingdom of heaven like perhaps these guys were. But it's actually a really important question, and Jesus doesn't dismiss it. In fact, he takes the time to answer it and to answer that question really powerfully. See, the question of greatness in the kingdom of heaven actually is a really important question for each of us to grapple with. So let's look at how Jesus answers the question, and then we'll see why that's so relevant for our lives today. Let's continue to read from verse 2. Jesus called a little child to him and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, how do you think Jesus called that child over? So he's here in the middle of this teaching moment with his disciples. They've asked him a question. Can you imagine Jesus turning to perhaps a group of children, or maybe it's a young child with its mother, and saying, "You there, little child, come over here. I want to make you an object lesson for my disciples." That's probably not what happened. And if you can imagine yourself calling a child over in a similar way, you're probably not going to have much success. Have you ever tried to call a little child over? What makes them want to come? If you're not resorting to bribery of some sort, what makes a little child want to come to an adult? Well, isn't it all about the relationship that they have with that adult? Isn't that what their expectations are about the fact that they can trust this person, that this person is an enjoyable person to spend time with? You see, we're back in Jesus' hometown of Capernaum. This is where he is based in ministry. This is probably a young child who knows Jesus, who has seen him around and possibly even been included in a playtime with Jesus, because we know from the Gospels that Jesus loved spending time with children. And as that child came over because he knew Jesus, could trust Jesus, enjoyed being with Jesus, I can just imagine that sense of delight in that small child at being called over to spend time with Jesus. That's a kind of a flavor that Jesus is wanting his disciples to grasp as he now begins to talk to them about the question that they asked. He tells them, "I tell you the truth, unless you guys change and become like this small child, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven, let alone be somebody who's great in the kingdom of heaven. You need to be able to humble yourself like this child in order to experience greatness in the kingdom of heaven." So we've got to be changed. We've got to become like that little child who responded to the call of Jesus and answered that call. Perhaps to feel the delight of that invitation when you hear the voice say, "Oh, it's Jesus and he's calling me over to come over and to spend time with him." Maybe it's that, like that little child, we need to learn to not feel like we've earned our place in the group, or that we can earn our position in that group, but just to simply respond to the call. You see, according to Jesus, that is how we enter his kingdom. None of us deserve our salvation. None of us can earn our way into the kingdom of heaven. It's completely beyond us. Yet, Jesus loves to call us into his kingdom. And he loves to see us respond to that call with delight and joy and trust in him as we simply respond to the one who calls us. If you're a Christian, that's how you became a Christian. You didn't earn it. You didn't have to kind of merit your own salvation. You didn't have to clamor to get God to notice you. You were just called to be saved by Jesus. That's also the way that you become great in his kingdom. Jesus is saying, well, if that's how you get in the first place, that's also how you continue in this kingdom to which I have called you. You don't try to earn greatness by yourself, just like none of us went to the cross to earn our own salvation. It's something you simply respond to Jesus and follow him in. We trust his call, we hear him, and we respond. I wonder if you've ever had that condition of heart, whether you've ever noticed in yourself as you've gone about your Christian life, if you're a follower of Jesus, ever feeling like there's some sense of, I've earned my place. I deserve a little bit of credit. I'm doing pretty well. Notice there's none of that in the response of this child. It is simply to hear a call, to be delighted to have heard that call and respond to that call. We don't trust our own resources. We don't trust our own intelligence. We don't trust our own abilities, and neither do we seek to have credit for any of those things. Greatness in the kingdom of heaven is about hearing a call and responding. But what did Jesus mean when he said to the disciples, having taught them that very simple lesson, that unless you change and become like this little child, you won't even enter the kingdom? What is it that needs to change in this group of men if they are going to be the kind of people who, first of all, are a part of God's kingdom by simply trusting in Jesus, and then become great as a part of God's kingdom by continuing to trust in Jesus and respond delightedly wherever he calls? What's going on in them that Jesus is seeking to address? Well, that's where the very beginning of this text is really important. In verse 1, we first read, at that time. You see, this story has a context. There's been things that have been going on. So in your Bibles, I'd love for you to flick back and just see what's been going on back in chapter 17 of Matthew's Gospel, because it's really important in helping us to understand this conversation in chapter 18. Now, we were looking at this chapter way back in November, so I'll recap some of the stories that were in the chapter so that we can really set the stage to understand the conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. Chapter 17 starts with the story of the Transfiguration. And if you remember, you've got Jesus with three of his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they've gone up a mountain, and there, those disciples get to see Jesus transfigured. He's changed. He becomes incredibly glorious in their sight in a physical way. He's revealing his true majesty as God's son. And he's there on top of that mountain talking with Moses and Elijah. And it's really clear that Jesus is somebody very, very special. But to make it even more obvious, the disciples and Jesus and Moses and Elijah are enveloped in a cloud, a bright cloud. And from within that cloud, the voice of God the Father speaks. And what does he say? We read about that in chapter 17 and from verse 5, where God says, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." God the Father is making it really obvious. There has never been anyone greater than Jesus. He is God's very own Son whom he loves. And God's saying to these three disciples, in a sense, as representatives of all of us, listen to him. If you're going to listen to anyone, listen to the Son of God sent to earth for us. And I guess having just come across that story in chapter 18 where Jesus verbally gives a call and invites a little child to be a part of what he's doing, the same is true to us. Are we going to listen to him? Are we going to hear his call? Do we recognize the greatness of Jesus? Do we delight in him? Do we respond in faith to him? Well, having established the greatness of Jesus, the chapter continues to tell a really interesting story, because as they come down from the mountain, the rest of the disciples are there and they've got a bit of a problem. You see, some people have brought a boy to them who they are hoping to have healed. And Jesus had actually empowered his disciples to be able to serve and bless people in those ways. But on this occasion, his disciples are at the end of their rope. They have not been able to heal this young boy, no matter what they do. They just can't do it by themselves. Well, Jesus heals the boy and later on has a conversation with them about what went wrong. Why is it that they couldn't do that which they'd been called to do? Jesus had invited each of those people to be a part of establishing his kingdom. He'd given them the commission to teach and to heal. And yet they couldn't do it by themselves when Jesus was up on this mountain. And that's the whole lesson that Jesus is trying to teach. You see, they had slipped into trying to do that work in their own strength. They were being self-reliant. And Jesus says, look, you only need faith as small as a mustard seed. You just got to remember where your power comes from. It's not about what you can do. It's about who I am and what I can do and what I've called you to do. That's what counts. There was a lesson about self-reliance that needed to be learned there. And then we continue on through the story. There's a story about the temple tax, and a couple of tax collectors come to Peter and they say, well, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? And I can imagine Peter would have been a little bit indignant. So he's just seen the majesty of Jesus. He knows that Jesus is God the Son. Why should he pay a temple tax? If anyone ought to be exempt, it's Jesus. And he goes back to the house where Jesus is, and Jesus doesn't even need Peter to speak. He knows what's been going on, and he has a conversation with Peter where he makes it clear, no, of course, you're right. I don't have to pay the temple tax. I am not somebody who is under their authority. I am actually greater than the temple. I am God the Son. And yet Jesus humbles himself. He says, but so that we don't offend them, let's pay the tax anyway. He sends Peter out, tells him to go fishing and to pull out of a fish's mouth a 4-drachma coin, enough for Jesus's tax and Peter's as well. So Jesus, even though he could stand on his own authority and exert his own greatness, he's clearly not interested in making sure that people give him the respect he is due. He's actually more concerned about continuing in the mission that the Father has given him to save the world. And he knows that he's not going to do that as a glorious king. He's going to do that as our servant who goes to the cross on our behalf. And so there's a message there about self-advancement. Jesus is not at all interested in advancing himself. He's interested in completing the work that the Father has given him to do. So then in chapter 18, when we come to this conversation, what is it that might need to be changing in these disciples? Well, for a start, we've seen their self-reliance. And just like a little child doesn't rely on himself or herself, they are fully caught up in the delight and trust in the one who has called them. So for us as followers of Jesus, if we are going to be childlike in our faith, if we're going to be a part of his kingdom and even to do great things in his kingdom, we've got to stop relying on ourselves. We've got to simply respond in faith to the one who calls us. Self-reliance will never enable us to do anything great in the kingdom of heaven. It won't even permit us to enter the kingdom, because as long as we rely on ourselves, we are not trusting in Jesus. That's the first thing that needs to change in these men and probably in our own hearts as well. That second thing, that issue of self-advancement. So many of us, and this may be what underlied the question, how do you become great in your kingdom? So many of us are interested in how others see us. So many of us are interested in pursuing the things that we think will make us happy in life, we think that will make us fulfilled, will satisfy our cravings, whatever it might be. There are some ways that we want to get ahead. There are some things that we think will make life work. And Jesus says, well, self-advancement is also not the characteristic of my kingdom. In fact, if I'm to be your example, you'll see that self-advancement is not what I was about. It's more self-debasement. It's more less of me so that I may serve the purpose of my kingdom. And those things are things that needed to change in the disciples and I suspect in our own hearts as well. I wonder, as we think about this question, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? We might not have ever said it in the same way, but I wonder if we have that same desire to be great in Christ's kingdom. I really hope that we do. For example, as a member of Christ's kingdom, I've been called to several things. I've been called to be a husband. I don't want to be an ordinary husband. I want to do great at that. I've been called to be a father. I don't want to let my kids down. I want to be great as a dad. I've been called to be a pastor and a friend and so many other things besides. And I guess like these disciples, if we're to think the best of them, maybe they're not just about how do I get ahead. Maybe they're actually asking the question, how do we do really well? How do we do a great job? What does it mean to be great in the kingdom of heaven? And those two things are the keys. Well, the way to be great as a dad or as a husband or as a pastor or as a work colleague or as a person who's a member of a local church, as somebody who's a mentor or a friend or whatever it is that you do, because you are a part of the kingdom and you want to be great in that capacity, what's the secret to that? Well, be like that little child. Don't be self-reliant. Don't be caught up in self-advancement. Trust Jesus. Respond to his call in your life. That's the secret to greatness in the kingdom of heaven. I wonder what that could look like in your life this week. I know for myself, sometimes I'm so concerned with trying to do what God's called me to do well, I tend to slip into that self-reliance category. I tend to be in a huge scramble to try and do a good job at the things that Jesus has called me to do. But as I read Matthew 17, and as I look at the disciples and the way that they were trying to do that, and they just couldn't heal that boy, I recognize that I just can't do what I'm called to do either. I can't be a great husband, can't be a great dad, can't be a great pastor in the way that Christ has called me to do it. I just can't do it on my own. But because Jesus is so amazing and so wonderful and so kind and so gracious, if I just delight in him, and if I just follow him and respond to his call and do what he's asking me to do and what he's empowering me to do, then I can move a step closer to being great in all those ways. That's really reassuring. And I find that really inspiring because it takes me beyond myself and it grounds me in the only one who can make my life work, the only one who can make my life count for eternity. So as we think about 3-2-1 and what God's calling us to do, what we want to start off with is this sense that we do want to go. We want to go into the mission that God's called us to. We want to go into the next season of our life together as a family of believers. And we want to go with humility. Humility like that child, where we don't rely on ourselves and we don't make life all about ourselves. It's all about responding to Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you sent Jesus into this world to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. He has brought us into your kingdom. He's dealt with our sin. He's removed every barrier that existed between us and you. He's given us eternal life. He has conquered death on our behalf. Lord, we thank you that Jesus has not only made it possible for us to enter your kingdom, he's also shown us how to be great in your kingdom. In whatever capacity you call us to be, whether that's in family, whether that's in friendships, whether that's in our church family, whether that's in our work situation, as we are representatives of your kingdom, we don't want to do an ordinary job. We don't want to represent you poorly. We want to be great at being representatives of your kingdom. We want to do great things for the sake of your kingdom. Help us to have that healthy sense of ambition. May it never be about ourselves and our own desires. May it never be about relying on our own ability to do anything for you. May we simply delight in Jesus. May we simply trust in Jesus. And out of that, have something of true value with which to impact the lives of others. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Well, it's been great to spend some time together worshipping with you today. I hope if you haven't already done so, that you'll say g'day in the comments section and make sure that we know that you've been with us and online. I hope that you'll make every effort this week to connect with others who are a part of our church family or your local community and share with them some of the blessings that come from a relationship with Jesus, knowing that as you do that, Jesus is building his kingdom. As we go with humility, his kingdom grows. What a blessing. Let's sing our final song together. Thank you, team.